Hey, Alex.
Hey, Andrew. What's this?
This is Brains on the Outside.
And what is Brains on the Outside?
It's a podcast where we dream up ridiculous businesses to solve the world's issues.
Each week, we take one of our listeners' problems and we pitch a company, a product, or a service to help them out.
That's right. This week, we're tackling Elliot's frustrations with two-factor authentication.
And I'm sure we'll do a really good job. Previous ideas have included a nursery that will make your baby into a CEO, and an IKEA that turns into a hotel at 6 p.m. Alex, we are our business podcast talking about business things and business problems.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought I'd bring to you a little game I made up from a crazy fact I learned this week. This is proper business stuff. We're going to talk about money. We're going to talk about the British industry world. Now, I feel you host a business podcast, I think you are qualified to comment on this.
Are you talking about this podcast?
Just
this
in general, business. In business. Yeah. You have business credentials, right?
I'm a big business boy.
You're a big business boy. Yes, you are. So this is the game. I'm now really into Warhammer 40K. I sit and I paint these little plastic boys and I get them ready for the grim darkness of the far future where there will be only war. And I kind of thought to myself, these sets, right, are extremely expensive. Like, it's famously known for being an expensive hobby, and it's true.
War is expensive, Andrew. That is the case. And when all there is war, everything's expensive.
The military industrial complex is real, but it's also real in the Games Workshop.
Yeah.
So Games Workshop turns out big business.
Mm-hmm.
Really propping up the UK economy. I learned that it makes more money for the UK than the entire fishing industry.
Oh my word.
So to get us into a businessy mindset, I'm going to list some British companies and you're going to tell me if they're more or less valuable than this toy shop that prints little plastic men.
Okay.
Okay. So Games Workshop, just so you know, has around a £4 billion market cap. So that's what we're saying. That's all the scales we're at. So Marks and Spencer's, the supermarket, more or less valuable than the plastic men?
More valuable.
Correct. Aston Martin?
Less valuable.
Yeah. Oh, you're good at see this. You are a businessman. Imagine you are the CEO of Aston Martin making these luxury, beautiful cars.
Yeah.
You're a Formula One team. And then these nerds, me... painting robots to fight on a tabletop is more valuable. The Man United Football Club.
Ooh, more valuable.
Wrong. It's the plastic men are worth more than the real men.
Holy shit.
Ocado.
Ooh, Ocado. Less valuable.
No, Ocado's more.
Oh.
That's my game. I should have been counting up the points because I just forgot to do that bit of the game.
I think I got... all but two right.
Yeah, so you got 2 out of 5, 2 out of 4. Congratulations. Yeah. There's no prize here. Now, Alex, I think I've got a really good segue for the next bit. Games Workshop makes a lot of money, but I think this businesses that we're going to pitch today are going to make even more money.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was okay, I thought.
That's a segue that would work for any episode, though, because all of our ideas are going to make a premium amount of money, more than Games Workshop.
Should we roll the clip?
Do it.
Hey guys. So I've got a problem today that I think you can help me with, and it's around two-factor authentication. So I think this is probably something that all of us have to deal with now, where maybe you're logging into a bank account or an email or something, and to confirm who you are, to make sure it's really you who's trying to log in, they have various hoops that you have to jump through. Which is supposed to make it more difficult for someone who isn't you to log in. So, for example, at work, I have to sign into one of our clients' systems. And to do it, they've sent me this little like key thing, which generates random numbers. And when I try and sign into their account, I have to input one of these little random numbers and it lets me log in. So already this is a bit of a faff because I'm always losing this thing and I have to find it. But recently it broke. And in order to get a new one and sign in, I had to go on the phone. Well, first of all, I had to call someone. I had to wait in a queue and I had to speak to a real person. And they had to ask me a bunch of security questions, which obviously because I set this up like months and months ago, I barely remembered the answers and it was really, really awful. And I took an entire morning. And I think that a lot of us have experiences like this. So basically this two-factor authentication, it sucks. There's no method of it that I've tried, which is in any way fun or delightful. But I feel like it doesn't have to be this way. So do you have any ideas for how we can make this more exciting?
Thank you so much, Elliot, for your problem you sent in.
It's a problem that I've certainly suffered from. I find two-factor authentication extremely boring.
It also ties into another problem that we might have to solve in a different episode, which is the millennial problem of never wanting to pick up the phone.
Yeah.
that's whack. So how this works is Alex will pitch some ideas, then I'll pitch some ideas, and Elliot, sometime in the future, will get back to us, telling us whose ideas he thinks is best. And then we'll count up how many times me and Alex have won, and we're not sure what the prizes will be yet, but probably glory. And if Alex is into 40k by then, maybe some plastic men. But Alex, are you ready? Do you have ideas? Are you ready to go?
I got ideas, Andrew. My brain is primed and pumped. I have logged into my frontal cortex with my two-factor authentication keys. I'm ready to go. I'm juiced.
Juiced,
as they say.
Let's do it.
Creative circles.
Creative circles. Creatively juiced.
So I have two ideas.
Excellent.
Number one, have you ever heard of a book called A Squash and a Squeeze, Andrew?
Yeah, but only because a listener once wrote in mentioning A Squash and a Squeeze, but I can't remember what happens in it.
That's right. A listener called Julie sent us in an ad many, many, many episodes ago that was about a company that would make your house feel a lot bigger by putting more and more stuff into it until you were so squeezed and squashed in there that you couldn't move, and then they'd come and take everything out and you'd feel like your house was absolutely massive again.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I get it.
All right. So I feel that actually the way to solve this two-factor authentication problem is to make it not seem a problem anymore by adding way more factors of authentication until it's so frustrating that two factors of authentication seems like a dream.
Okay.
Yeah.
So are they all getting more and more ridiculous and complicated and annoying and frustrating?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, actually, they're just getting more. That's it, each time. So I think over the course of, the problem is we've got an escalation issue, all right? Because we start with two factors. People find that boring. We get three factors and people are like, oh, two factors was great, actually. And then they get bored of three factors. And then we have to add four factors because then they're like, oh, three factors is actually boring. And then we have to add five factors because four factors is boring. And we keep having to go up. We keep having to escalate. And I think at some point we can then go back to two-factor authentication again and everyone will be free.
Yeah.
For a period of time, and then we have to ramp it back up again.
Begin the cycle. Yeah.
Begin the cycle. So I think we can, slowly unlock additional factors, right? So, one factor is your password. Two factor is your password and your special number that you get texted. Three factors is your special number that you get texted and your password and a special key that you have to use on your computer.
Like a physical key.
Like a physical key.
Oh, shit, that's cool.
And then four factors is maybe a fingerprint. And then five factors is a scan of your eyeball. And then six factors is your mum's voice recording, telling them that you are a real person. And then
Hulk is a good, trustworthy little boy. He's definitely allowed to access his bank account.
Exactly. Yeah. And then seven factors is the name of your second best friend who lived down the street. And eight factors is, I don't know, a swan that you've stolen.
Also, you're thinking you're going to have to get out of your house eventually. Like factor nine is like, go outside and like connect to the satellite and press this button and then go back inside again.
So there is a secondary benefit of this, which is at some point the number of factors becomes so annoying that actually it's not worth trying to break into your bank account or your email anymore, because there's nothing in there that's going to be worth the amount of effort it is to break in and to do all the factors.
Right. So you think, one, we'll come to appreciate two-factor more Yeah. And two, mm-hmm. it's now unviable to break into somebody's account because how are you meant to know their mother's 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 maiden name?
The amount of work you'd have to put in to do that, like a whole picture of your family tree.
Yeah.
And you've also solved the Wordle for today. And you have taken a photograph of a wild platypus and everything else that you need to do to get in there. It's just so much effort. So much effort that there's no way the £4,000 worth of debt that I have in my credit card account is worth getting into.
Yeah, at some point, it's like you're putting so much time to logging in. You may as well just get a job and earn that money a different way.
Exactly. Yeah, that's it. Exactly. And because of all these factors of authentication as well, we're also generate a lot of new jobs for people because there's a lot of checking to see whether or not people are actually good or not.
Oh, so this isn't an automated process. There's someone on the other end being like, yeah, this is definitely your picture of giraffe. And yeah, this is like,
exactly, yeah.
Yeah, they've uploaded their birth certificate, but they've put an Instagram filter over the exact one we said they should have to do. And they've gone and played Halo for 15 minutes as we said they should do. And they've also done this and this and this and this and this.
Yeah, exactly. So we're generating a lot of jobs. It's good, right? Everything's more secure and it's so much of a pain in the ass to break into someone's account. It's so much of a pain in the ass for someone to get into their account in the first place that a robber is never going to try and bother to do it.
So you spoke about adding things on and on and on, and eventually you'll break everybody and they'll, going back to two, will seem okay. What is the form of authentication that you think will break everybody? What's like, you're at 79 factor authentication and they've asked you to do this thing. What's the thing that would break you?
I think it is that you have to go and find your school bully.
Yeah.
And they have to punch you in the face.
Wow.
In the exact same way as they did when you were a kid.
So you're thinking it gets psychological. It's actually like, it's psychologically so demeaning to sign into this website. It's like, I don't want to buy the fifth season of Suits on DVD from eBay that much.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't need to see what my overdraft is.
I'm just going to live through it. Okay. I like this.
So the second idea, you know, on the half of the websites in the world now, you have to tick a little box that says, I am not a robot.
Yeah.
What if instead of it said, I am not a robot, it said, I am who I say I am?
Okay. Okay.
And you tick that box. All right. And that's how you get into the website. Now, that's the only factor of authentication. That's it. You tick the box. It's not even a password. You
just pure trust. I am Andrew. Oh, wait, no password. Don't type anything in.
Nothing. You don't type anything. It's just like, you tell it who you are. I'm Andrew. And I tick the box. And that's it. I'm in. I'm done because I'm trusted.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, the question, of course, is how do we know that you're trusted?
Yeah. I just seems like anyone could sign in as me at this point.
Now, neither of us know what it's like to buy a house, as far as I'm aware. But as I understand, when you buy a house, you have to sign a contract to buy the house for the mortgage. And when you sign the contract for the mortgage, you have to get a witness to witness you signing the document.
Okay, yeah.
I think you have to do the same thing when you get a passport. I can't remember. It's been a while.
Yeah, I think you do. I think you do. Yeah.
So what if every time you ticked that box that said, I am Andrew, there was a witness that was watching you tick that box that was saying, yes, that is Andrew.
So if I want to log in to Instagram, I need to call you up, be like, I'm logging into Instagram now. Can you just verify this for me? I log in, pings you a little note that's like, Anna's logging into Instagram. Is it really him? And then you say yes.
Exactly. Or I just witness you ticking the box.
Yeah, okay.
Right? That's all it is. You phone me up and you're like, you show me the box on the website and you tick it. And I'm like, yeah, that's fine.
That's fine.
That's cool.
So I guess that means then if I'm... Then we both go down together if I do something bad or I'm actually falsified something trying to get in.
Well, if I see you trying to log in, not as you, that's obviously a real issue.
Yeah.
For me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I just say, no, that's not you. That's not him.
And then I guess I can't take the box at that point.
And you can't take the box.
No.
You're not allowed.
So that'd be lying.
If you take the box, that's bad. That's a bad thing to have done. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I witness you, and then someone else witnesses me.
Yeah, because I was going to ask.
Yeah.
So I'm trusted because of my association with you.
Yeah.
But then how are you trusted?
So what we do is, at birth, every person is assigned a witness for their entire life.
Okay. Yeah.
In a great big giant loop. So I witness you, you witness someone else witnesses them, someone else, you know, it goes on forever and ever and ever and ever. Until eventually, there's a huge loop and it comes all the way back around to me again. And the person who witnesses me. So we have this circle of trust of everyone in the loop has an official witness for witnessing every time they sign into something.
This is like a modern version of a godfather or something. So when you are assigned to not really be your parent, but to watch over you, protect you from danger and trouble.
Exactly.
Yeah, and make sure you can get into Blue Sky.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's it.
Do they have other roles like a godfather does? If I called you up and it was 4 a.m. and I was trying to get into eBay to compulsively buy more paint to paint my little army of Tau.
Yeah.
Do you have like a moral role of being like, maybe not actually. You don't want to do this, Andrew. Yes, I'll witness you and let you in, but are you sure this is what you want? Or is this purely like, do you have any moral authority over me in this situation?
I think that depends on the state of our relationship.
Okay, like, okay.
Officially, I'm only required to witness you signing into stuff. That's my official role.
Yeah, that's legal.
That's my legal obligation. If I want to just, you know, insert some moral guidance. Pressure in there as well. But what I can't do is prevent you from signing in. Because that would renege on my contract, which is like, I'm there just to witness. That's really what I'm there to do, is just witness you signing in and say that it is definitely you.
I think that's quite cool, actually, just in general, because signing in, such a cold process, you know? Mm-hmm. And as I said, as millennials, they don't really like calling people. And this is nice. This kind of gets you out of the house, calling your friends more because, like, well, you have to if you want to get into Netflix.
Exactly. And we do, like, that official witness for you. They're the official witness for your entire life. When you get married, it's them that is the witness. When you buy a house, it's them that is the witness. They have that complete control because they have to. Because you have to know if you fuck it up and you sign in somewhere and you didn't have them witness you and they find out about it, they're not going to let you buy a house.
When you're born, does your parent assign you the witness, or does the government do it, or does a third party security company do it?
Well, that's where we have to come in, isn't it? Because this is how we make a capitalist venture. This is how we make the money.
That's how we make it. So we run this sort of like security forum.
Yeah.
We make the standards.
Yeah.
We rubber stamp all the witnesses, and they say, and they're just, by the time you fill the form in, you are drowning in like admin fees.
Yeah.
For some reason, this is a really paper intensive process that takes like months and months and months. Yeah. And we can charge you like £150 for it.
And you have to sign in to that. You have to sign up. Like it's not, you're not legally obligated to sign your child up to this process, but if you want them to buy a house, to have a car, to get a driving license or a passport, to sign into Blue Sky, you have to have them signed up to the witness program.
I have one final question about an expansion of this, and a way I think we could push this through is that we start competing with other forms of identification. If this idea competed with the passport and competed with the driver's license, you got the passport control. And the American border guards are like ready to send you somewhere, like into an interrogation room. You're like, whoa, let me call my witness. Don't need a passport. You get pulled over by the police in your car. And like, can I see your driver's license? You're like, no. Let me FaceTime Alex.
There is one issue, I think, with that. Yeah, if we can FaceTime, it's great. But in situations where you need what in bank terms is called a wet signature. So that's like signature with actual ink.
That's a really rough term.
It's gross. It's gross.
That's really grim, yeah, actually.
It's really horrible. But in those terms, where you need an actual physical presence and a real human being, it can't just be on a FaceTime call.
Yeah.
And I feel like a passport is one of those situations where you actually need a real physically human presence, which means that the entire witness chain has to go on holiday together.
That's kind of fun, right? That's kind of
I guess it is.
Or at least one person, like, I guess a group can go, and one person has to be like the designated witness who goes and be like, right, I'll witness off this last person and I'll come back home so I don't have to go through. Because like otherwise everyone on the earth has to go at once.
Exactly. Yeah. That probably is it. Or one person in the chain has to have an actual physical passport.
Physical passport.
So yeah, that's it. So those are my two ideas. One, just add way more factors of authentication. I think we'd all have a lot of fun doing that as well. And then at some point we tip over into actually this is not worth anymore. We go back to two when everyone's happy. That's the idea number one. And idea number two is this enormous witness program.
Our ad today is from a real company. It's actually pretty amazing. It's always actually really exciting when we get real ads from real companies coming through.
Wow.
To pay for all my plastic needs. This is from Peloton, who point out that, you know, they've really mastered the treadmill. They've really made a really excellent and amazing cycling machine. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure what you're like, Alex, but these things still require effort. They still require you to run and require you to cycle.
I hate it.
It sucks.
Yeah.
It really sucks. That's the problem with exercise, really. And that's what the researchers and scientists at Peloton have found, that you can build these machines, but it's hard to convince people to actually use them. But they've built something actually now, the future of the running machine, to help overcome that. And I'm really excited about it. This is Peloton's running exoskeleton. This is a full metal suit that you strap yourself into, and then it powers your legs. You press go, and it just runs for you, and you're along for the ride. So this means you get all your exercise in without the effort of having to think about doing exercise.
Wow. I actually, jokes aside, I would actually sign up for that.
Jokes aside, who's joking here, Alex?
Do they do a bike version of it? Because I just want to sit in my garage and watch TV while my legs are made to go in circles.
Yeah, this is their next venture, I think. Just being strapped into a bike as it cycles for you.
Yeah.
Now, I know what you're thinking. Wasn't there that Peloton running machine that sucked people underneath it and gave them really terrible injuries?
Oh, yeah, burns.
Jury's still out on this machine, to be totally honest. But this means you can basically do a marathon with no training, because these things move your legs for you.
Wow.
So it's worth it in the end.
Does that actually exercise you? I guess it must do.
Yeah.
I guess it must do, yeah. Because
your legs are moving and it's burning stuff. That's how, I'm not a biologist, but if the people at Peloton, if the big corporations selling these machines tell me it's true, who am I to disagree? Alex, if we had another business venture or startup, or just a normal guy just listening who wants to advertise something on our show, how would they get in contact with us?
Well, Andrew, they should contact our people on our email address, which is brainsontheoutside@gmail.com. All right, Andrew, that was the ad break. Now I would like to hear, please, your solutions for fixing this two-factor authentication issue.
So I have one main idea, and then I have a couple just random little thoughts, and I'll get them all out.
Okay.
But I think what I kind of pondered on was why do we need two-factor authentication, really? Why do we actually need it? And it's to stop people breaking into your account, right? And that sounds kind of obvious, but the root there is the problem. It's your account and you're protective over it. So there's your personal data in it.
Yeah.
So I say, just get rid of that. You don't need 2FA anymore. So my solution is that everyone just shares an account. Like how you share around your Netflix password with your family, you share around your passwords with everybody. There is one Twitter account. There is one Facebook account. There is one eBay account. And we just go from there.
I like this, especially the bit where we have one bank account.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I can see. So do we split the subscription fee between us for everything?
Yeah.
All
yeah.
7 billion of us.
Yeah. I mean, so it's, you know, $10.99 for Netflix and you just split it between 7 billion people and we all just share the account. Or it gets a bit difficult with messaging apps, I think. But I think we'll just have to take turns. I imagine everything will end up looking like an old school web form, like 2005, where you just leave things up there and people can kind of respond to it at their own will.
I quite like this. Yeah, it means that everyone signed up for everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you want Photoshop? You got it. You want Premiere Pro? You got it.
This is it. I have multiple free trials of Photoshop. I have like 4 different email addresses for various things. They all signed up to Photoshop to get their free trial. No more. Because you are paying like 1 millionth of a pence a month for it. Because you share the account with everyone else.
Wow. Yeah. I foresee absolutely no problems with this whatsoever.
No?
No.
That's good.
Everybody having access to one Dropbox account seems legit.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, obviously there's a lot of like, you know, scouts honor. You're going to have to be, you can't mess about, you can't delete someone else's file. The file naming systems and conventions we're going to have to take on, it's going to be quite complex. But yeah. I have faith in humanity to run this system without fault. Once you can get Disney Plus for 0.0000001 pence a month, I think people will really catch on to it. You don't have to do 2FA because we're all sharing.
It's kind of a throwback to olden days when we were young, or when you were very young and I was young, when instead of like Dropbox or OneDrive or iCloud Drive, you would have a shared drive at work or at university. Yeah. And everyone would have a folder on there and you could go into any other folder, but you know, you didn't delete something from someone else's folder. But if you needed something from there, Andrew, I'm just going to nip into your shared drive and just grab at that copy of Quake that you've stored in there.
Yeah. This is the next thing, right? Yeah. Now you can share your Steam library with everybody. I can go into your files and just grab Wolfenstein.
Yeah. Easy.
I think that's how you'd communicate, actually. You'd like leave little text notes in each other's shared folder.
Folders, yeah. I would actually enjoy that. It would be quite fun to go back to that.
Yeah. And there'd be some sort of edit log so you can see if, you know, I don't know, fucking Steve edited all your files without permission again.
Fucking Steve. Yeah. He's been in there.
He's been in there changing all my Word documents. I control F-ing my name and changing it with fart, that bastard. And you could have some like farm mods in charge just to boot people out, you know? So there would be, I'm not quite sure what sort of society we're creating here, but getting rid of 2FA is my main goal.
It also means like if you are in a group chat, there would just be one person in that group chat. But if you press the dial everyone button, it would literally dial everyone in the world.
Yeah.
And we could have a group chat with everyone in the world in it.
I mean, that'd be good. You meet all these interesting people.
It'd be so good. I foresee no issues with having 7 billion people in one group chat all at once.
So this is how we're going to make our money, though. The infrastructure required. I'm guessing the back end of the internet is made to support lots of people with separate accounts. We're going to have to totally remake that. So there's one mammoth account, one mono account for everyone to share. So we'll make our money by, you know, reconnecting all the pipes to the internet in the back end. It's kind of a boring way of making the money, but I think money's money, you know?
I was going to ask about that. Now, how in this situation does a company like Netflix survive when it's only got one account that's paying at $10.99 a month?
Well, you know, Netflix changes its fees the whole time. So maybe they'll just put the fees up a little bit. You know, in this, you know, in the free market, you know, you have to be versatile against your competitors. So if Amazon's still going to keep charging $6.99 or give it away for free with Prime,
yeah,
their video service, you're going to have to be competitive with that, you know? Because we could collectively take a vote in the group chat, the singular group chat, and just vote to cancel the Netflix subscription if we wanted, and then they get no money. And they get literally no money. Do they want that? I don't know. I'd rather have $10.99 a month rather than no money a month. That's what the call's about. That's what the big call's about. Do we cancel the Netflix subscription? They're raising the rate from $10.99 a month to $10.9 billion a month.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. I it would make for a really interesting debate about whether to keep the Netflix subscription or not.
Yeah.
But because we've also got one group chat, that's not the only thing that we have to debate. Actually, all politics can go through that one group chat as well.
This is interesting because I don't want to say his name on the podcast, give him more airtime, but Elon Musk wants X to be X, Twitter to be, you know, the town square.
Yeah.
But his problem is that, I mean, it's obviously not as good as this app we're imagining, where everyone's there all the time and I can tell every human being on earth. And I'm just like, so what do we all think of Rishi Sunak today? Maybe we could we should get rid of him.
Well, yeah. I mean, is there only one electoral roll register as well? Is there anyone registration on the electoral roll? That's an interesting question. And also, like, the petitions website that there is for the government petitions in the UK, is there only one account for that? So if one person signs up for that, then all 70 million of us or whatever there is in the UK all sign up at once.
Yes.
It's a complicated one. Because there's a few places, like also my dentist. I have an account for my dentist's website so I can make appointments. Is there only one dentist's website account now? Do we all go and get our teeth done on the same day, the same time? There's a few places where I think it needs a bit of work, right? We need a little think through.
Yeah, I don't, this is an early idea, but I think the dentist thing, yeah, there's one account and yeah, it's a bit of a free for all, but trying to get an appointment with the NHS right now, that's a bit of a free for all, Alex.
I guess it's just exciting, isn't it? Like if you manage to sign in to the dentist's website with the one dentist account,
yeah,
you get the appointment and then it's a fucking race to get to that appointment.
Yeah.
Like there's a queue down the street for that appointment because that appointment is everyone's and it's just the first person through the door.
I mean, obviously when you log in and you book the appointment, you know, you're called just user, but you can put a little note being like, it's going to be Andrew there. Please save the seat.
What about corporate accounts for things as well?
One account. If I want to get into the Amazon mainframe, I can. But again, I wouldn't go into your share file and delete all your torrents of X files. So it's like you don't go and look at all Amazon's proprietary code because that's a whoopsie.
It's a trust thing, isn't it?
It's a trust thing.
Yeah, yeah, I like it. I'm down with it. I think there's not enough trust in the world, Andrew.
So this is what I'm trying to build on.
Yeah.
So I have a few other ideas. I'm going to rattle through them really quick.
Let's do them.
So Elliot mentioned getting that little keypad for your to put a code in. You know, little keypad when you sometimes it says. Enter this number into your keypad. I would rather have a huge, enormous metal box that required two keys you have to turn at the same time, like you're about to launch your nuclear weapon during Cold War.
That's the witness thing. That's how you do it.
That's it. I am like, Alex, I need to sign into Amazon trying to pre-order Starfield. And you have to rush over with your key and we do it like that.
We do it like that.
So that's one idea. Yeah. Another idea was you have to go to a physical location, like I'm trying to get into Threads. So I need to go to the Threads office and be like, hey, I'm trying to sign in. Just here's a passport. Let me in now. Like an actual physical office.
I like that. That's really good. Yeah. Like you have a centralized authentication office in every town.
Yeah. Yeah. That's also helps the economy because you give a job someone there being like, oh yeah, you're trying to, you know, you're trying to buy it going to ASOS. Here you go. You're in. And my last idea was a cosigner, which is actually quite similar, you know, when you have to get a mortgage, you have a cosigner. So it's very similar to your first idea. Yeah. So that's that's me. I would get rid of two-factor authentication by getting rid of individual accounts for websites. Everyone shares every account forever. Elliot, that's it. We've given you so many valuable business ideas for you to go take forward and create your own startup. Mine included, I think this counts as a business, just one account. So make one account. Alex, what were your ideas?
My ideas were to get over the fatigue of having two-factor authentication, we just increase the number of factors until two-factor authentication feels like it's a breeze. Or we set up a complex system of witnesses so that everyone is trusted because a witness has seen them sign into that website.
I like how our ideas both share the same thing of, you know, you should just trust each other. You don't need two-factor authentication because you can trust each other.
Yeah, I like that.
Kinda.
Yeah.
Now, at this part of the show, we sometimes go over previous winners. We're in competition here. You know, we sound very friendly to each other right now, but in real life, constant beef. And all the beef could be squashed by is listeners of the show, like Elliot, saying which idea they prefer to give us hard empirical data points to be like, actually, I'm better at coming up with stupid business ideas than you are. So Alex, if a listener wanted to give their opinion on which business ideas were best, how could they do that?
The best way to do it is through Spotify, where you can vote on the best idea from each episode directly there in the app. And if you don't have your own Spotify account, you could either use a friend's, as Andrew would suggest, or I believe you can do it even without signing up, right, Andrew?
I think you can. You just go onto the any episode, and there's a little poll that you can vote on.
Amazing.
And if someone has another problem, has a problem they want solved, or a business idea themselves, well, how would they tell us that?
Well, Andrew, they should email us on brainsontheoutside@gmail.com.
That'd be amazing. If you could do that, that'd be so good. I'd be so happy. I'd be so happy if you did
so
that.
Nice. Yeah. This week, Andrew, actually, is International Tell Your Friends About a Podcast Week.
Wow. I thought that was next week, but this week, it comes so soon every year. See, why that's really your important holiday is that's the best way for podcasts like ours to get more listeners. It's if you tell your friends about it. So it's really fitting why there's a whole holiday dedicated to that.
It is. It truly is. And more listeners means happier podcasters. And yes. Happier podcasters means fewer tears.
We have to do a lot of editing to get rid of the crying. We start about with 5 or 6 hours of raw audio. And after we've edited it down to crying, we get to 30 or 40 minutes. So it's really rough. Yeah. So please tell your friends to stop us crying.
All it takes is one new listener each week to prevent a podcast host from breaking down in tears in the street. Do you have a final idea, Andrew?
Yeah. So, you know, you can get like a burger in a tin, a full English breakfast in a tin. That's not very classy, though. I want a charcuterie board in a tin.
Salami, tinned salami.
Oh. Keep your brain in the acid. Oh, same type! Yeah.